Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad that you're here on a beautiful Lord's Day. It's always a blessing to be with God's people. And as we sing praises to Him and read His Word, may God be gracious to us and give us peace as He's brought us into His family. Our first lesson this morning is titled, Greet the Brethren. And we're going to start with a reading. If you want to open your Bibles, if you brought one, to Romans chapter 16. If you did not bring a Bible, there may be an extra near your seat, or you can share with someone. I'm sure they'd be happy to. We're going to start with a reading in Romans chapter 16. We'll read the first 16 verses. This is Romans 16, and verse 1. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who's a servant of the church that's at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, that you help her in whatever matter she may need of you, for she herself has been a helper of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but to all the churches of the Gentiles, and greet the church that's in their house. Greet Epaphroditus, my beloved, who is the first convert to Christ from Asia. Greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who are outstanding among the apostles, who also were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Greet Apelles, my approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my kinsman. Greet those of the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved, who's worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, also his mother and mine. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brethren with them. Greet Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all the churches of Christ greet you. It's exhilarating, isn't it? Not quite. You can pardon yourself for not getting goosebumps upon this read. That was not a test. Some of you were looking like, is that supposed to be? Some passages of Scripture move us, it seems, without trying. You can read some of the life of David, and you see his faith on display as he does incredible acts of courage, or you read about the gentle strength of our Savior. It will bring you to tears if you're not careful. But not all Bible passages are equal in this regard. Romans 16, well, perhaps it's not so interesting. It's a big, long list of names. It's not even regular names. It's a list of names that are strange to us. And it's a list of people that, for the most part, we know very little or nothing about. For almost everyone on this list, if we know anything about them, it's the very few words that Paul might say about them. Long list of names. We might wonder what the value is of a passage like this, or if there is any value for our edification. Is Romans 16 and passages like this, is it just incidental? Because it seems like most of the spiritual value, especially in a book like Romans, is in the heart of the book. Paul's letter to the churches at Rome is full of some of the foundational teaching of the gospel. He begins the letter by saying, I'm not ashamed of the good news. It is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. It's like, amen. You know, we're going to write a hymn called, I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord. It's based on that verse. There's other passages, like, at the right time, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or as Paul says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. These are all passages in Romans. And we read those and it's like, I'm going to print that one, I'm going to put it on my wall. Put a nice frame on it, hang it up somewhere. I've never been to anyone's house where the verse that says, greet Andronicus and Junius is hung up on the wall. Who in the world are Andronicus and Junius anyway? So why are these passages recorded for us? Did God intend for us to have the book of Romans and, well, you kind of have to have these details on the end, but they're not that important? It's our question this morning. Why do we have passages like this in our Bible? Just a list of names. Well, for starters, I want us to understand why Paul would list such a long list of names. What's striking is that when Paul writes this letter, this long letter to the church at Rome, he's never been to that church. He's not been to any of the churches in Rome. And you can imagine how that might come across. If you're having trouble in your church, people are not getting along, and one day you're getting together on Sunday morning and someone says, our church has gotten a letter from a man who's never been here before, and he's written this huge 16-chapter treatise, and he's telling us how we're going to fix our problems. And you can imagine everyone rolling their eyes. It's like, this guy's never even been here before, and he thinks that he can sort out our troubles. And so at the end of this letter, Paul lists this huge list of names to prove and to show people that he does know people there, and that this is a personal letter that he's writing. It's not an essay, and it's not an attack on the churches at Rome. In fact, Paul has great plans. If you look just the chapter ahead, you see some of these details. In Romans chapter 15, he says here in verse 22, he says, for this reason, I've often been prevented from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, and since I have had many years a longing to come to you whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing, and to be helped by you on my way there, when I first enjoyed your company for a while. But for now, I'm going to Jerusalem, serving the saints. Unless you just have a really good map or timeline, it can be tricky keeping track of where all of Paul's letters fit in his lifetime. But Paul writes this letter to the Romans in the second half of his ministry, we might say. And he says to these Christians, like we just read, he's often wished to go to Rome and to visit the churches there, but he's been prevented from doing so. But he has plans to go further. Here's a handy-dandy map of the ancient world. If it looks unfamiliar, that's why. We've got Judea and Israel down here. Jerusalem's about right there. And when Paul goes on his first and second and third missionary journeys, he goes from Antioch and he starts churches all over here. And then he goes over to Asia Minor and starts churches. And he goes over to Greece and he starts churches in Thessalonica and Philippi and Corinth, all over the place. All these churches are, almost all of them are started by the Apostle Paul and his fellow workers as he goes on these trips. And he writes to Rome, as we just read, saying, I've often wanted to get there, but I haven't gotten there yet. And then he says, as we read, it's almost humorous, since I've no room left in the area that I've been, he wants to go to Spain. Paul says, there's places I have not been yet and preached the gospel, and that's where I'm going to go. And so what Paul's ultimate plan is to, since he's already converted this half of the world, he wants to go through, hit Rome on his way to Spain, which is over here by the attendance board, which is actually written in English, not Spanish. But Paul has great plans. He wants to travel the world. He wants to make sure the gospel gets to as many people as possible. And he wants the church at Rome to help him in this. And he says, first, I'm going to Jerusalem. He's bringing a collection to the saints. There's been a great famine in Jerusalem during Paul's lifetime. And Paul has an excellent idea. He says, how about we get a collection from all of the Gentile churches that I've started all across the world, and we'll bring them their money to help them in the famine that they're having. And we're going to bring members of those churches to come and meet these Jewish Christians to try and bridge the Jew and Gentile gap that was such a problem in the early church. And so he prays, and he asks this church to pray with him. Look with me in verse 30. This is Romans 15 and verse 30. He says, I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I might be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be approvable to the saints, that I might come to you in joy by the will of God and find refreshing rest in your company. And now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Before Paul wants to jet off to Rome and then to Spain, he has to deliver this money that he's collected to Jerusalem. And he asks them to pray for him because he knows at best it's going to be rocky and at worst it could go very badly. You may remember that when Paul goes to Jerusalem, he gets arrested and his plans get disrupted. It's something that we might have trouble imagining. You know, we've got some gospel meetings coming up. I don't know that we've ever had very many that were delayed by a prison stay. You know, we've got Brother Bowman coming here in a few weeks, and hopefully he'll come if he's not arrested. It's like, that was something that the apostles really dealt with, and the early ministers really dealt with, that we, by God's grace, are free from. But as Paul knows what lies ahead of him, and knows that prison is a real risk, that execution is a real risk, he writes to these Christians and he says, I really hope that I can come and meet you all. And to those that I already know, greet them for me. Say hello to all these people. And what I want you to realize, especially in this lesson, is that when we read passages like Romans 16, long list of names, strange names that we don't know anybody named these names. When we read a list, it's not a list for Paul. It's not just a directory for Paul. I want you to look at how he describes these people. He starts here, verse 1 of chapter 16. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who's a servant of the church in Cenchreae, and that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she might need. It sounds like Phoebe's the one carrying the letter. This letter, the letter to the Romans. He says, take care of her and give her whatever she might need when she gets there. He talks in verse 3 about Priscilla and Aquila, who pop up at all these different cities in the books of Acts and Corinthians. And it seems like everywhere they go, they've got a church gathering in their house, whether it's Corinth or Ephesus or here in Rome. He says in verse 3 and 4, greet Priscilla and Aquila, who have risked their own necks for me. Say hello to those who meet in their house. He says in verse 5, greet Epaphroditus, the first convert to Christ in Asia. Can you imagine? How could you forget someone like that? Paul's first missionary trip. He leaves Palestine. He's going into foreign territory. And the first person who hears the gospel and says, I want to be a part of that. Baptize me, Paul. Paul says, I'll never forget him. And here he is in Rome. Paul says, say hello to him for me. Because Paul's never forgotten him. He says in verse 6, greet Mary, who's worked hard for you. We may not know this Mary, but we know Marys in our lives. People who work hard. They get to the building early and they stay late. They're always bringing their friends and their neighbors to worship. They're always helping. Paul says, greet Mary. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junius, my fellow prisoners, who the apostles know firsthand. Other Christians who have served time for their conviction in what they believe. You'll notice a word that gets brought up over and over, verses 8 and following. The beloved in the Lord, our beloved, our fellow worker. Paul says, all these people whom I love, Paul's not just going through a list and saying, this name, this name, this name. He says, oh, that brother who I love, say hi to him for me. This brother and sister who the Lord loves, who've helped us, say hello to them for me. He says in verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, workers in the Lord. Sounds like twins, doesn't it? Tryphena and Tryphosa. Maybe you know people in your lifetime who they have twins and they name them some cute name that matches like that. You got to wonder if Paul ever could tell them apart. Verse 13, greet Rufus, a choice man in the Lord, and his mother and mine. I think the point that he's making is not so much that Paul's birth mother is there in Rome, but that Rufus and his mother, who are part of the church there, have treated Paul as if they were one of his own family members. Maybe you have someone like that, who they're not related by blood, but they've treated you like you're one of their own in their family. He says, say hello to them for me. He says, all these Christians, say hi to them. For Paul, this is not a list. We read this and it's like, this is good reading material if you're having trouble sleeping at night, you know. Romans 16, it's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this. But when Paul wrote this passage, his heart was full of love, because they're not just names for Paul. These are the people that he loves, who have helped him in his walk of faith. I hope that you have an extra pen with you and some scrap paper. If you do, or if you don't, you know, you can share with someone who does. There's always somebody who's got a pen. Grab a piece of scrap paper. Maybe that's one in your Bible. Or if you grabbed a bulletin, grab your bulletin. And I want you to write on it right now. I thank God for, and fill in the blank. Put a name down of someone. I'm going to do it right now too, so you don't feel weird about it. I thank God for, and I want you to write a name. Someone that is not here, maybe they live far away. Someone who's helped you in your life. A Christian who has helped you in your walk of faith, who has made you the person that you are, so impersonal to you. Write a name. Write another name. Write two or three more if you can think of them. And when you get home today, or if you're scared that you'll forget, when you get in your car to leave today, I want you to pray. Pray with your family and say, thank you, God, for these people. Thank you for sending them in our lives, for the help that they have been to us. Thank you for how they've encouraged us and given us what we need. And if you were to trade this with someone, you know, if you're sitting by someone and you say, hey, check out this list I just wrote, it may not mean very much to them. They may not know those people at all. It'd be like reading a phone book. But for you, it's not a list. Those people are your heart. Those people are your life. They are your people. And this is what Paul wrote. He says, greet the brethren that I love. And you have a list in front of you. The people that God has given you in your life. It's not a list. In Nahum 1, in verse 7, a minor prophet tucked away in the Old Testament. Nahum 1, in verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who take refuge in him. Nahum is a book of judgment. There's not very many lights of hope in it. But it begins with this hopeful notion that the Lord is good, he is a place of safety, and that he knows those who take refuge in him. The Lord, he knows all of us, and he remembers us. The fact of the matter is that the vast majority of the saints across history have been forgotten. If you tried to get a collection, if you tried to get a head count of all the redeemed who are going to be in heaven, you look out at the crowd and say, I don't know almost anybody here. You know, we remember the notable people. All of us, you know, might recognize perhaps the names of the apostles or some of those people who are written by name in the Gospels or in Acts. We might remember people who are notable in our lives. You can trace some Christians in your family tree, perhaps, or people that have been impactful in your personal life. But the vast majority of Christians who quietly, every day of their life, have lived by faith and have chosen God have been forgotten by time. There's not some great list somewhere. There's not a directory in some church that's, you know, however many miles high, full of all the names. We forget them. We don't know. But the Lord remembers. And as Nahum says, the Lord knows those who take refuge in Him. If you did grab a bulletin, the article for today is not an article. It's actually a hymn that was written in 1994. If you didn't grab a bulletin, this is now the second time I've brought that up. I'm sorry about that. You should grab one after. If you have someone to look over their shoulder, that'd be just great. I just want to read the words to this hymn, and I want you to think about it. It's exactly what we're talking about this morning. It says, "We sing for all the unsung saints, that countless, nameless throng, who kept the faith and passed it on with hope steadfast and strong. Through all the daily griefs and joys no chronicles record, forgetful of their lack of fame, but mindful of the Lord. Though uninscribed with date or place, with title, rank, or name, as living stones their stories join to form a hallowed frame. Around the mystery in their midst, the lamb once sacrificed, the love that wrested life from death, the wounded risen Christ. So we take heart from unknown saints, bereft of earthly fame, those faithful ones who have received a more enduring name. For they reveal true blessing comes when we our pride efface and offer back our lives to be the vessels of God's grace." The beautiful hymn. All the unsung saints. We read about them in Romans 16. Paul says, "Greet these brethren." We read about Urbanus and Junius, and we say, "I don't know who that person is at all." But the Lord does. And I'll remind you this morning that we're not exempt from that. In 50 or 60 years, we may not be remembered. We may well be a name on a list. 50 or 60 years, maybe someone will come across the church directory at Saratoga. And those names may not mean very much to them. They might read it and say, I think I know that person's grandson or granddaughter. The people who read our directory, if the Lord wills, in 60 years, they're not going to remember who was there when you were baptized. They're not going to remember the brother or the sister who had a booming laugh or a beaming smile. They're not going to remember all the times that that person really understood you and prayed for you or visited you when you were sick. It's forgotten. People will not remember it. But the Lord does. When Paul wrote Romans 16, it wasn't a list. The people that he loved who helped him. That list that you wrote down, and I hope you did, it's not a list to you. It's not just names. Those are God's people that He's given to you. And for all of us, when our time comes, and the world keeps turning, if it's God's will, and we are forgotten, the Lord does not forget us. We're not just a list to God. I'll just read this last passage, and then we'll just end in a prayer. This is Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, verses 46 to the end of the chapter. I'm just going to read this, and I want you to think about how the Lord Jesus talks about His disciples. And I want you to think about all that we've talked about this morning, about who God's people are and how He knows them. Matthew 12 and verse 46. "While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, behold, His mother and His brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to Him. And someone said to Jesus, 'Behold, Your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. But Jesus answered the one who was telling him, and he said, Who is my mother? And who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Would you pray with me?